Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer. Nearly half of American adults in their 40s and 50s are caught in the middle, taking care of parents older than 65 while raising a child or financially supporting an older child. We call them the sandwich generation, squished in the middle. But as Katie Hafner can tell you, it also feels like you're getting pulled in two very different directions, caring for people you love who have very different needs. She's the author of a new memoir, Mother, Daughter, Me, and she joins us here on WNYC. Katie Hafner, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Anna. Thanks for having me.
Your book is really wonderful because it talks not about just the logistical challenges of what it is to raise a child while taking care of your parent, but it talks about the emotions that get dredged up when you're doing this. When your mother moved in with you, you were a single mother to your teenage daughter, having lost your husband to a heart attack. And you'd had a sort of difficult, sometimes very distant relationship with your mother growing up. But you had the highest of hopes that by bringing her into your home as an adult, that you were going to do a lot of healing. And it didn't quite turn out that way.
No, it didn't. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. In fact, so I was taken away from my mother when I was 10, and my sister and I was 10 and my sister was 12, and she had been an alcoholic. And I think that what happened in my case was that I just nurtured incredible magical thinking around what our relationship could be. And so then at age 51, and my mother was 77, and my daughter was almost 16, my mother went into kind of a crisis. I live in San Francisco, and so I invited her to live with my daughter and me, which, you know, a lot of people say, you know, I'd love visiting my mother for 48 hours, but that's all I can take. But I was so caught up in my own sort of reality distortion field that I decided this would work out just fine. And my mother had her own kind of fantasies as well. And then it just began to unravel very quickly. In fact, we were calling our experiment our year in Provence, and it turned into pretty quickly several weeks in purgatory and then straight to hell. So it was tough, and I learned a lot in the process. You know, a lot of it was just a lot of bitterness that I didn't even know I had. You know, a lot of people would say to me, oh, I had a horrible childhood, and I'd say, oh, come on, I had a horrible childhood. Get over it. I have, and then it turned out that I actually hadn't, and so that was tough. And yet, you know, it has, as you said, it's brought up these bigger questions about the sandwich generation. I was just listening to you talk to Benjamin Wallace Wells about, and he talked about this bleak vision of the future. And one of the things, kind of on a societal level, that's happening is that, you know, as the boomers age and we're taking care of our parents, there's all this financial sort of duress that's making elderly parents move in with their children and young adults move in with their parents, and it's creating these multi-generational kind of situations. And in fact, architects, and this really surprised me, are building kind of homes within homes for these multiple generations. And the one thing I found is that while we're all kind of rushing to do this, what we're not really looking at is are we psychologically and emotionally prepared to do that?
What it feels like. That's what but your book, I think, is just so spot on. I mean, we hear about this trend as this thing that so many families are going through. And because you look at this with such intimate details and in the preciseness of what happened in your family history, you really get a sense of how that unfolds. But I want to bring some listeners into this conversation. If you have had an aging parent move in with your family, or if you moved in with your children and their children, we want to hear about that experience, particularly how after everyone got settled and you started on your new routines together, what surprised you about your new living arrangement? What were you not expecting? The phone number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Katie Hafner, one of the things, the details that I so related to in your book, you had a teenage daughter and your mother came to live with you. I have four sisters. I have a lot of females in my family. So I loved the way you described having to translate what you called your mother's code to your teenage daughter.
Yes.
Because the way you all dealt with frustration and hurt was very different across generations.
Well, exactly. Well, exactly. I mean, my mother came from a generation that, you know, they do tend to sort of, I don't know why, but they do, they speak, they're very proper and they speak in code. And so there's this one sort of bleak scene where my mother envies what my daughter or what I have ordered for dinner, but she doesn't say it outright. And my daughter says to me afterwards, she says, well, what was that about? And so she, my daughter is a very blunt person and very direct. And so that, so just the kind of the linguistic sort of game playing that was going on was completely took me by surprise. And there I was sort of caught at one point in the book, I'm actually physically standing on the stairs and my mother is downstairs and my daughter is upstairs. And there's this sort of war being waged between the two of them. And I just thought, oh my gosh. And one of the things in the, you know, just in the everyday living of bringing three generations together, it's like just little things like sharing a refrigerator. You know, my poor mother at one point sort of retreated to one drawer, and she couldn't stand my refrigerator hygiene, which is admittedly terrible. And but these are the things you don't even really know about your own parent until they're living with you.
Were you anticipating that dynamic with your daughter, where how I read it was that your daughter was coming to your defense in a way that you couldn't directly with your mother because of your history with her?
Yeah, that boy, I'm so glad you saw that. Yeah, it's so true. I mean, I had never, ever, I mean, my circumstances were really, really rough. And so I had never even ever discussed what happened with my mother. The fact that when I was 10 years old, my sister and I were basically airlifted out of San Diego and sent to live with my father and stepmother. And if they hadn't taken us, I think we would have ended up in foster care. It was that bad, and not one word had been exchanged between us about this, and it wasn't until she came to live with us that it all came out like a dam break. We ended up going to see a therapist, which was really interesting and makes for some lively scenes in the book, and my daughter, who was aware of what had happened during my childhood, was always coming to my defense, and also I think my daughter sensed kind of my mother's umbilical hold over me, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Sort of she sensed this sort of unfinished emotional business as well. And kids, they have a sixth sense about things, and she did not. She didn't react well.
We're getting some calls of people who've had experiences with three generations in a household. Sandy in Queens, what's going on in your household?
Well, quite a lot, actually. I am living with older parents, two mid-80s, kind of medically challenged parents, and two teenage sons. Our life really revolves in Manhattan. So we're doing commuting, taking care of medical appointments for sons and parents. We're juggling a schedule that is very intense, and also dealing with the fact that my parents, you know, they have their needs. They have their way of living, and it's very different than the way my mm-hmm. boys are used to living. So we're in the middle, my husband and I in particular, and we're trying our best to keep everything in balance and everyone mm-hmm. happy, and it's a major strain.
Sandy, do you find, like Katie, that because you're raising teenagers who have a particular talent for expressing things in an unvarnished way, are they expressing some of the frustration that you are trying to sort of work around diplomatically?
Are they expecting? I'm sorry, I didn't catch.
Yeah.
That.
Do you find? Are you trying to sort of contain their frustration with some of the difficulties in the household because of the ways that you're?
Oh, absolutely. It's almost a comedy. If I didn't think to want to laugh and see everything in a positive way, this would be a Greek tragedy in a sort. It's actually right now tragicomic because on the one hand, I am trying to make the reality of what my parents see life as, and the way they are now progressed in their lives, happy and fulfilled, and even the mundane things like making sure that a cup of coffee is prepared right, or how an orange is cut for my dad in the morning, and then juggling what my boys expect for their needs, you know, dinners and full-blown drop everything to take care of their needs, take them to and fro to their respective appointments and their athletic endeavors and all of this, and then somewhere in the middle of that, make sure that life continues in as normal a way as possible. And I've got to tell you, I think there's a huge range for what is normal, because I'm definitely tipping scales in one way or the other. I'm not sure which one, but like I said, I get up every morning. I do feel very blessed, and I actually have myself a good laugh because it's for a story or a book for later on, for certain.
Well, Sandy, thanks so much for your call. Katie Hefner, one of the things I want to ask you about is how you navigated money with your mom, because that came up in interesting ways, first about how you were going to split bills, and then because she's nearing the end of her life or she's aging, there's this sense of unfinished business with your relationship and also inheritance and what you will have after she's gone. I mean, how do you feel like you found a way to talk about that directly?
Money is, for many families, it's a huge issue. You know, often, you know, after people die, it turns into, like, one of the main sources of friction among siblings. And it was tough. It was really tough. I think my mother had a really rough time around money with her parents, and that sort of got handed down to me a lot of from my mother. And what we decided to do at the start of this experiment was split everything. And I think that she felt like she didn't have, you know, as much of the house as Zoe and I did, and that her part of the house was this little dungeon. And so that turned bad. And then every sort of $10 became, there's this one scene in the book where she says to me, you owe me $10, and I think to myself, you owe me a childhood. So to answer your
question,
you
don't say out loud, you think, you think
to
yourself.
No, I did not say that out loud, but when I thought that to myself, I thought, okay, this is bad. And so that was one of the things, I have to tell you, Anna, that was one of the things that was really tough for us, that we never did manage to figure out. In fact, one of the main tugs of war was over this Steinway piano that I thought she was going to leave to me. And it just turned into this sort of distillate of every sort of struggle that we were having. And that's rough. But you know, back to Sandy's call about, you know, just these little things that happen. I mean, that, you know, one, money as a, you know, how are we going to handle money? That's one of the things that you have to, if you go into one of these arrangements, these multi-generational households, you have to have it absolutely figured out, to down to meals, down to groceries, down to the utility bills, what's going to happen with that, just to keep it very sort of as friction-free as you possibly can.
You had the benefit of your mother's health wasn't terminal, or she
right.
she was fairly independent. She learns how to parallel park after she moves to San Francisco to live with you. I love that.
I called it her Mount Everest.
And you ultimately decide, the book ends with you've decided to live in separate apartments, and your mother declares, we've conducted a noble experiment, and you say that you've learned how to pick and choose what to absorb and what to deflect of what she says, but it sounds like it's much better with more space between you.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason, as I said earlier, that people know not to live with their parents, and people like Sandy are just stuck in incredibly difficult situations. I'm surprised she even had time to make the phone call to you. Once my mother moved out, there was breathing room for everybody, and our relationship improved a lot. And that was, and I found out really who she was in a really sort of very realistic way, and I learned how to be this woman's daughter, which was actually a huge gift.
Katie Hafner is the author of Mother, Daughter, Me. Thanks so much for your call. Thanks so much for your book, and thanks so much for joining us here on WNYC.
Thanks, Anna. That was great.
After the news, we're going to talk about the movie Fruitvale Station, the George Zimmerman verdict, and how you're thinking about it all. I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer.